In all your ways, acknowledge him. See, in all your ways, give him praise. There are so many ways to acknowledge God, to recognize his presence, to worship him, to give him all glory, honor, and praise. And haven't we been blessed this morning? Haven't we been blessed this morning just to have the Spirit of God move in all sorts of different ways, that we may respond in our worship, that we may give praise and glory to Jesus, God alone, for he is holy, he is worthy. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he directs us. He directs our lives. He directs our paths. He directs the way that we continue to respond to him in all that we do. Thank you for all those who have taken part in our worship so far this morning. I've been blessed. I hope and I'm sure that you have too. Can I just remind you that even as I'm preaching, if you wanted to grab a little, what do you call those things, sketch pads, you can do, or a piece of paper, or some chalks, or some dark paper there if you want to do some chalking. It looked like Libby was doing a bit of chalking beforehand, and she decided to do some worship art on her skirt. So she was, but that's great. That's wonderful. But if you're at any point, if you want to come over and grab something, by all means, do that. You are more than welcome. If that's a good way for you to respond to the Lord in worship. So over these couple of weeks, we're just looking at worship, the heart of worship, our heart of worship, and what it means to come into the presence of a living God whom we love and whom we serve and who is holy. So last week we reminded ourselves of the holiness of God, the wonder of the worship, of thinking that great God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who asks us to draw near to him, he draws near to us. The wonder of that, quite incredible, this God whom we love and who asks us to respond in worship. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We sang it again this morning. I love singing those words. I love singing those words. Recognizing that I am doing what has been done for thousands and thousands of years. Holy, holy, holy. And that's what we participate in as we worship. So we looked at that last week, that kind of big picture of who God is and who we worship. You have made us for yourselves, O God. You have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. So we begin with worship. Our lives begin with worship. So this week we're just looking at some of the different ways in which we can respond in worship. Some of the different resources that are available to us that we can use to bless the name of God and find that we are blessed in return. For worship is a two-way thing, isn't it? It's giving glory to God and then realizing that he blesses us and lifts us up. What a privilege. What a privilege to worship the living God. And so we're looking at these different ways of worship, how we worship, why we worship, and where do we worship? Well, it said in Psalm 99, we read in Psalm 99, this short psalm again of glory and honor, recognizing God as holy, and it said in there about worshiping on God's holy mountain. It's right there at the end of Psalm 99, the final verse of Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This idea of worshiping on a holy mountain. Now, we think about worshiping on a holy mountain, and maybe different pictures come into our mind of what that might have been within kind of biblical times, of what that might have looked like. One of the people that's referenced in Psalm 99 is Moses. And we remember the story of Moses going up Mount Sinai and being in the very presence of God. Do you remember that? He went up and he met with God and he received the Ten Commandments, and the people of Israel kind of remained at the foot of the mountain. And while he was gone, some of them got up to no good. They didn't realize the holy God, that Moses was going into his presence. I heard a wonderful phrase this week. A preacher by the name of Francis Chan. I don't know if you ever come across him. Fantastic stuff that he preaches about. It's good to listen to him. He's a passionate preacher. And one of the things that he said this week is, one of the responsibilities of people who are perhaps up front, sort of leading worship, is to almost be like Moses, to bring God's people into God's presence. But sometimes the rest of us are content to stay at the foot of the mountain. When the worship leader, when Moses say, no, up the mountain, let's go up the mountain. Because when we get there, the presence of God is awesome. This is the responsibility of anyone who kind of leads worship in that way, is to say, come on, we're going up the mountain. Are you coming? Are you coming? Because you want to be in that awesome presence of God. And then as we continue to read the scriptures, and as we heard the band playing, "These Are the Days of Elijah," there's a little line in there that says, out of Zion's hills salvation comes. So from this mountain comes, and out of it comes salvation. And so Jesus, when he meets with this woman at the well, this Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, they speak about her lifestyle, they speak about God, and then they speak about worship. And she says, look, I know that we worship on this mountain, wherever they were, where they were meeting. We worship on this mountain, the Samaritans, kind of a divergent group from the people of God, from the Jews. She said, but you Jews, you worship on the holy mountain, and you worship at Jerusalem. And see, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And Jesus says, well, you're right, that's the way it's been, but the way it's going to be, and in fact the way it is happening now, because he was the embodiment of it, is this idea of worship in one particular place at one particular time. I'm opening it up. And you're going to find that in all places, in all sorts of circumstances, you're going to want to worship the living God. Not just on the holy mountain, not just in one particular city, but in all places and everywhere, because you will be worshiping in spirit and in truth. When you're gathering in your cells this week, you're going to look at that little phrase about worshiping in spirit and truth, and you're going to have a little bit of discussion about what that means. But Jesus says, I'm opening it up. And therefore, because it's opened up, and because we are created beings to worship a creator God, there are creative means by which we can do that. And it's opened up. And it's opened up to worship. Now, remember, won't you, that when Jesus says about, you know, you don't have to have a particular place to worship, you can worship in all places, that is not Jesus. Now, hear this clearly. That is not Jesus saying, so it's okay to just stay at home. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to church. You can worship me at home. That's fine. Well, yes, you can worship at home. But Jesus calls the gathered community together. He calls the gathered community together so that one another, we can encourage one another. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's what it says in Hebrews. Don't give up meeting together, as some have fallen into the habit of done. But gather together and encourage one another. This idea of being together. Jesus said, well, where two or three are gathered in my name. So he says, come together. Don't just do it alone. Come together to worship. To worship. So that can obviously be done in all sorts of places and at all sorts of times. And it doesn't have to be at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. But there's something wonderful about 10:30 on a Sunday morning here in Arnold, isn't there? Because as I said at the beginning, you have decided. You've put it in your diary. You've put it in your mind. I am choosing to worship. That's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm choosing to worship. Have you ever been to one of those kind of services? And this is not me saying, this is not Arnold, but you might have been to a service where you've been there and you've kind of been through the service, and then somebody maybe stands up with a guitar or something and says, and now we're going to have a time of worship. And you think to yourself, what have I been doing the last 25 minutes? Because for some reason we can easily think worship, our response in worship, the way that we worship, is simply singing. And it's much, much bigger than that. Much, much bigger than that. And people worship in all sorts of ways and approach God with all sorts of different forms. There's a lovely little story about somebody from the city who was part of a city church, and a farmer who was part of a country church, and they happened to swap churches one day. Let me just read you this little illustration. It's quite funny. An old farmer went to the city one weekend and attended the big city church. He came home, and his wife asked him, well, how was it? Well, said the farmer, it was good. They did something different, however. They sang praise and worship choruses instead of hymns. Oh, well, praise choruses, said the wife. What are they? Oh, they're okay, said the old farmer. They're sort of like hymns, only different. Well, what's the difference? Asked the wife. And the farmer said, well, it's a little bit like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a hymn, simple as that. On the other hand, if I was to say to you, Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows. Oh, and the corn, the corn, the corn, the corn, the corn. The cows are in the corn. They're in the corn. And then if I were to repeat the whole thing over three times, well, that would be a praise chorus. And now the rebuttal, so to speak. A young new Christian went to his local church usually, but one weekend he attended a small town church. He came home and his wife asked him, how was it? Oh, well, said the young man, it was good. Well, they did something different, though. They sang hymns instead of kind of praise songs. Hymns? Said his wife. Hymns? What are they? Oh, they're okay, he said. They're sort of like songs, only different, said the young man. Well, what's the difference? Said the wife. Well, the young man said, well, let me put it like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a praise song. If, on the other hand, I were to say to you, oh, Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Inclinest thine ear in the words of my mouth. Turn thou thine whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, unimitable, glorious truth. For the way of the animals, who can explain? There in their heads is no shadow of sense. Hearkenest they in God's sun or his rain, unless from mild tempting corn they are fenced. Yea, those cows in glad bovine rebellious delight have broke free from their shackles, their warm pens enskewed. Then goaded by minions of darkness and night, they all like mild chilliwack sweet corn have chewed. So look to that bright shining day by and by, when all foul corruptions of earth are reborn, where no vicious animal makes my soul cry, and I no longer see those foul cows in the corn. Then, if I was to only do verses 1, 3, and 4, do a key change at the end, well, then that would be a hymn, said the young man. You see, it's the same thing, just expressed in a different way. We're given all sorts of ways to worship God. We come to God and express it in all sorts of different ways. And some are more comfortable to us than others. Some are new to others. And some maybe, oh, I've not done that particular way for a long time. And it kind of renews us and restores us. So let me just take just a couple of minutes, if I can, just to think about some of the different ways in which we worship. I've got a little list, if it's able to be shown up on the screen. And I'm not going to speak about all of these. I'm just putting a list up there. And speak about one or two of them, sort of different ways to approach God in worship. But again, when you meet in your life cells this week, you might want to kind of add to this list and think of a few bits and pieces. Of course, as I have already said, when we think about worship, we often think about sung worship, using our voices, whether that's listening to a choir sing and being drawn into the presence. Oh, wasn't that beautiful this morning with the choir? Being drawn into the presence of God by listening to a choir singing, or maybe singing ourselves. And again, there's something about singing together in a large group where you unite your voices in praise. You're all doing the same thing at the same time, and you're giving glory to God. There's something beautiful about that. Many, many years ago, I mean, I'm talking hundreds of years ago, it was looked down upon, this idea of harmony. It was thought, oh, if we sing in harmony, that's kind of breaking things apart. We want to think about God being united. But I really love hearing people sing in harmony. It's just that because it's united, it's bringing all those elements together and giving them to God. So we sing corporately. We listen maybe to a choir singing. That's part of our worship, using our voices in worship. Poetry is a wonderful form of worship. I'm not going to break all these down. I'm just going to put them out there so you can see them. Poetry. I wonder whether some of you ever write poems or used to write poems. You know, how can you worship God if you pick up a pen and paper again and worship him through poetry? And if you do, share it. If you want to, share it with others so they can be blessed. Art, using art as a response to God in worship. Now, you don't have to be Michelangelo to worship God through art. You can do it. It can be splashes on a paper. It can be drawings. Look, so the kids have done some stuff here, and it's lovely seeing a few of you out there now just kind of sketching too. God has given us kind of creative minds to do something with it, and worshiping God through art, all these ways of expressing our worship to him. That might be through painting, it might be through drawing, it might be through photography, it might be through video, or any of those kinds of things, that sort of art form. Worshiping God in that way. Dance. I don't think I need to say any more than that, do I? My goodness me, thank you ever so much, Susan. That was absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it's funny, isn't it? Because we have moments like that, and you're never too sure how you want to respond at the end of it. Part of it, you want to be silent. Part of you wants to clap. And part of it's oh, we've just had something wonderful that we've experienced. So thank you, Susan. We're really, really blessed with that. An act of worship, an act of worship. Communion, that idea of the Lord's Supper, kind of breaking bread together. Now, let me just talk just for a minute about communion, because within the Salvation Army tradition, when we gather together on a Sunday like this as part of our worship, we don't celebrate the Lord's Supper in the way that many other churches do. That is not to say that we are anti-sacraments. We are not. We absolutely are not. I mean, I've said this before about baptism. Let me say it about communion. If ever you have the opportunity to participate in communion at a church that welcomes you to their table, enjoy it. Enjoy feasting on the presence of God in that way and be blessed in that way. It's just not part of what we do as our kind of gathered community on a Sunday as we come together in worship in this place. But if you're visiting a church where they do that, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You can talk to me at some other point about my kind of thoughts and feelings about it because, yeah, I think it's a wonderfully helpful way of worshiping. But in my commitment to who I am as a Salvation Army officer, I won't celebrate it as part of a kind of a gathered kind of celebration here. However, gladly participate it in a church and where churches meet together. It's a wonderful joining together and, again, worshiping God. It's a good thing to do. Digital creativity. This is for those of you who are perhaps born in this millennium, right? Who know how to kind of do stuff with computers and phones and videos and also digital stuff and websites and all this kind of stuff. Use that creative ability to worship. Think about it. How can you worship online? How can you do that? How can you use digital creativity to worship? To worship, not just to gossip, right? Not just to see what's going on in the world with the kind of celebrity or whatever. How can you use it to worship? Think about that. Puppetry. Another form of worship, a creative form of worship. Some of you might be puppets. Some of you might think that you are puppets. I don't know. But worshiping God, a way of worshiping God. Using our physical actions. Now, by that I mean not just dance, but just the way that we worship. Sometimes, and I enjoy this, and some of you enjoy this, just raising your hands in worship. Raising a hand in worship. Just some kind of physical action. Because within us, we are made to respond. And sometimes we respond by singing. I think, I love singing, but I want to take it to the next level if I can. So I raise my hands. And I say, this is all for you, Jesus. This is all for you. Please feel free. Feel absolutely free to do that. To do that. Just if you want to. Don't feel kind of pressured into that. But if you want to kind of respond in a way, that's fine. Or if it's kneeling, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. A physical action as part of your worship because you wanted to give glory to God. Let me speak just for a moment about tithing, about giving in our offering and giving to the Lord. And now I'm just touching on this, but I will come back to this. We'll come back to explore this idea of our giving, our faithful giving week by week, month by month. It's something that we've spoken about within the leadership team that we just need to remind ourselves of. Because tithing, giving to the Lord is an act of worship. Because when you give to the Lord, you give to the Lord. Okay? You don't give to the Salvation Army. You give through the Salvation Army. You give through the church. But what you're doing is you're giving to the Lord. And you're saying, here I am, Lord. This is my act of worship as I offer to you. As I offer to you. When you give to the Lord, you give to the Lord. That is your act of worship. So think about that. When the offering plate goes round, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord as you put your envelope in. If you have a standing order set up, make a note in your diary of the day that comes out. Today's the day I worship the Lord in my giving. I worship you, Lord. It's for you. It's for you. We'll come back to that at some other point. I wonder who amongst you is good at writing stories. Some of you might write poetry. Some of you might write prose. Again, these creative ways of worshiping the Lord. How can I worship the Lord with a short story that I write or a longer story that I write, giving it to the Lord? Next week, I'm going to unpack the idea of service, the things that we do in the name of Jesus, the things that we do here, the things that we do within our communities, within our streets, within our homes, within our workplaces, as acts of service, and we're going to explore that a little bit next week, as that's our witness to the world as part of our worship. Liturgy is a form of worship that is used in many, many churches, and we've used just a little bit of it this morning at the start as part of our prayer, this idea of using some set prayers to worship God. I find liturgy really quite refreshing, which is interesting, because some people who come from a liturgical background find that they kind of go through words week by week by week, and for them it becomes a bit dry. But it's interesting, when you don't do it week by week by week, and you come to it, all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I can approach this in a new way. This is something fresh for me. It's an act of worship. It's something that has been done over and over and over again, and it kind of gets within your heart. Yeah, so your heart becomes rested in God because it becomes familiar to you, this act of worship. We have our craft connection that meets here on a Monday evening to meet together and make crafts together and to discuss and sometimes do some things for the church here. You can use those crafts, you can use that idea of kind of handicrafts, you're good at stuff, again, as an act of worship. It's an act of giving glory to God. Oh, look at his creativity that he's able to use through me. And I worship him. I worship him through this way. Prayer. This is an obvious one, isn't it? Prayer. Yeah. A time of worship. A time of worship. Let me grab my books here. Just to say, when it comes to prayer, I have a book from the Church of England, part of their Book of Common Worship, their sort of daily prayers. Now, I can't carry that around with me all day, every day, but I can carry it around with me on my phone. So I can pick up my phone and pick up an app and kind of help me through some daily prayer through there, or a Celtic daily prayer. If you want to flick through these books afterwards, by all means do. Again, a way of using liturgy and using set prayers that are written. Now, sometimes, because within the Salvation Army tradition, we're very open and often just have sort of spontaneous prayers, which is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And sometimes we kind of shy away from written prayers because we think, oh, well, I know, if I'm going to pray, I want to come up with it my own way rather than something that somebody else has written. Forgetting that probably what we've done just before that was sing some songs that somebody else has written. Yeah? And they've thought about those songs that they've written, and we sing them. And people think about the prayers that they write, so we can pray them as well. So don't be afraid to use prayers that have been written to say, this is my act of worship, this is going to help me. And it might actually kind of start to kind of point you in further directions of prayers. If you want to look through any of these kind of books, by all means do that. Grab those afterwards. I put down their flower displays. When you bring flowers on a Sunday, and perhaps put them at the front here or dot them around, what are you thinking when you do that? Are you thinking, oh, nice little decoration? Or are you thinking, here's something else I'm bringing to the Lord in worship. I can do flower displays. I can worship the Lord. For this means, is I want to give, look at this beautiful nature, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to worship you in this way. All these different means that we have, different ways of worshiping God. It's wide open. It's wide open. Drama is another one. We were talking this week about musicals, weren't we, Alison, and musicals and kind of drama. And you don't see so much of it now, but if you've got a great idea for a little drama that helps to kind of illustrate a Bible story or a passage of Scripture, use it so we can worship God. We can worship God through that means. Instrumental music, again, that's a big part of what we have here within our worship. We have the band playing, or sometimes just listening to music from the worship group, and just worshiping as you're listening to it. And it could be for yourselves. Maybe some of you play instruments that you can hide away or have hidden away. Yeah, I've spoken to some of you. You said, "Oh yeah, I'm not going to call you out by name. Don't worry." Something, oh, I used to play, I'm not just talking about kind of brass bands, but I used to play the violin, or I used to play the flute, or something like that. Pull it out again. Pull it out again and worship the living God. Worship the living God. Now, how about preaching? You see, we think we come together to listen to the word of God. Somebody stand at the front and preaching, and we think, well, we've had the worship up to that point, now we stop the worship, and now we listen to the message. No, it's still part of the worship. So as I'm standing here preaching, and I need to be thinking, I want to give glory to God. I want, in my preaching, I want to worship while I'm even preaching. This is what God calls us to. It's wide open, all these different means of worshiping God. Some of you like to walk. Yeah? Some of you like to walk great long distance. Some of you like to run. God bless you. great distances, up hills, kind of down kind of long paths. As you look through the Psalms, you'll see from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, they are Psalms of pilgrimage. They are Psalms that were spoken and read as the people of God made their way towards Jerusalem. Yeah, they were pilgrims making their way, walking towards God, and they worshipped as they walked. Every step they took was a step of praise. I wonder what it means for you when you go out for a walk, whether it's up a mountain or it's along a riverside, or you go out for a long run. You know, worship is part of your pilgrimage. And of course, fasting is another way just to stop and just to say, I'm putting everything aside. Now, the fasting doesn't have to be food. Fasting doesn't have to just be food. To say, I'm not going to go without food for 24 hours, 48 hours, 3 days, whatever it might be. But that's one way of doing it. But there's all sorts of things that you can fast from, things that you can say, I'm going to do without that for the time being, because I want to worship. I want to focus my mind on God. So think about that as a resource that you have. And finally, silence. We start to get a little uncomfortable, don't we, in the silence, thinking, what's going to happen next? We use the silence in worship. Use the silence in worship and wait on God. You know the beautiful song of Matt Redman, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come. Everything's stripped away. And in silence, I come to God to bless his heart and find that he blesses mine. What a simple resource that you have abundance of. Or do you? Or do you? For in our noisy world that we live in, how do we find a moment, a few moments, just to be silent, to worship within the silence? How then will you worship? How will you worship? Did I miss out? Scripture reading. I missed out scripture reading, didn't I? Forgive me for that. Because reading the Bible, again, part of our worship. That's why we do it each time we meet, part of our worship. Reading the Bible. I encourage you, and I've said this before, to read the Bible more and more and more. When you come on a Sunday, bring a Bible with you. If you haven't brought a Bible with you, there's plenty at the door as you come in. Now, I say that for two reasons, because it's part of our worship, because we listen to Scripture. We worship as we listen to Scripture. And also, because if I'm standing up the front here boring you to tears, open up your Bible and read that instead. I won't mind, because you'll be worshiping, you see, because you'll be worshiping. Pick up a Bible when you come in, folks. Read the Scripture. Listen to it. Read it. Use it as your worship. Any time that you gather together. So as you gather together as kind of sections, kind of practices and so on, different groups, you read the Bible. You don't have to expound on it. You could just read two or three verses. That's it. Don't have to say anything. Let the Scripture speak for itself. Just read it. Your worship. That's your worship coming together. So how do you respond? How do you respond in worship? What will you use? What means, what creative means will you use in your worship? The psalmist says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 42. I just long for him. I just long for him to be in worship, to be in his presence. What do you do? What means do you use to worship him? So we're going to respond in one of the forms of worship, sung worship and prayer, just now, just to give your heart another opportunity to worship the living God. Graham's going to come and help lead us in some singing. Use this time to worship. Worship where you are. Come to the front and receive prayer and worship that way. Be encouraged, be blessed, whatever means you want. You can still come and grab a pen and paper if you want, or whatever you might want to do. To worship the living God. All these different means, all these different ways of doing it. So allow this to be a continued time of worship. Thank you, Graham.